QST, 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 this is Tom Fry. KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, positive that is, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Great, when we hear nothing there. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Arnie, we have a couple of announcements going here. One of them would be announced last night. Please get in touch with me, KF6Q, at ARRL.net. Do have a family with a missing person disappeared in Holcomb Valley, as best we know. They are trying to now organize their own personal search with volunteers. Sheriffs have done the best they can do and have found nothing, and anybody that's out there in Holcomb Valley or is a good hiker and has good radio communications or GPS knowledge, please give me a call, or at any time, email me at kf6q@arrl.net. And we'll get something going for these people. All that. Just go ahead.
This is HDS. Yeah, I need to get the grid coordinates because we've been out there in the woods. You got to narrow it down for me a little bit. I'll get back in touch with you. We'll have to do it on landline unless KI6SKN can help me on out as far as email things go.
Okay, Mike, and actually I need to get in contact with the Sheriff's Department myself. I did contact the people, got that forwarded from me, from W6BBL, Bill, a few days ago. Need to know actually where they left off, what they did, what they covered, and all that, Mike. So I don't have that information right now, but I think the family who's reorganizing the search probably does. And I'm sure we'll have that soon either way. So thanks, Mike. Appreciate that.
Copy that. Good to go. Just let me know. Either through Chris or me, direct. You know how to do it.
Roger, roger. All right. Any other announcements out there? I think I knew a few that were going to come in, but not hearing them out there. One more chance.
This is KJ6FIL with the space station update.
Okay, Mike, good. Also, we'll probably get some information from Clint this evening, but go ahead. Mike, what do you got there? We have another pass tonight?
Roger, roger. 7:54 p.m. tonight. ISS is going to fly over, 3-minute duration. 47 degrees above northwest and going to set 12 degrees above northeast. It's going to be pretty short, and but it's still going to be visible.
You know, Mike, I think at that time of day with where the sun's at, I think it's going to be pretty bright. I have actually seen it disappear. It did a really good high-profile pass, but it would be so late, it would get about halfway across the sky and then just vanish. It was out of sight, you know, from the sun. So it'll probably be pretty bright because that sounds like the sun's not going to be down that far. And even though it's short, it sounds good. Appreciate that, Mike.
All righty. Well, you guys up there, the sun sets just a little bit better than it does down here in Redlands. Sunday night was, or Saturday night was just a great view from where my advantage point was up there in Big Bear. I could see it for a good 10 minutes, and hopefully everybody can look up in the sky and get a nice view of it. KJ6, FYL, back to you.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Also, coming up here pretty quick, because we're at mid-month, don't forget, end of this month, last Sunday of the month at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station, we will be doing ham testing. Anybody who's ready to do, or you know anybody who's ready to do the tech, we have a couple people coming in already. I get these phone calls and emails, and that's already happening, and if you're ready for that upgrade, come in. Walk-ins are accepted, not a problem. You don't need an appointment, not a problem. So any of my VE team out there, keep that in mind. Please let me know if you're going to be available. This is a volunteer thing, so just let me know. Other than that, we are also working on, coming up probably into September, for a Yagi antenna workshop for Tech Tuesday. You're going to build a Yagi multi-element right there in front of your face out of raw materials that are easily available from the local hardware up here, and use methods, two different methods to put them together. Test them right there and match them up just like we did with the J-poles. Also like to announce, and everybody keep your fingers crossed there for Steve. Had to take Debbie down there to the hospital. Hopefully everything's going good. Not sure of any updates on that, but if anybody has any information, jump right in there. So sounded like they had it under control. Hearts and feelings go out there for Debbie. Make sure that she recovers fully. One more time. Any other calls there? Any other announcements? Please come back before we announce the topic and go on to the roster. All right. Hearing none. Topic for the evening. This will be a multi-topic event. I'm going to probably carry this over about 3 weeks to get a lot of coverage. I'm going to talk about batteries. Hey, we got them in our HTs, got them in our cars. If you got that really cool setup in your ham shack, you got a battery there for a backup when the power goes out. We're going to talk about batteries. We're going to start with lead acid batteries, the basic, the staple, and how to charge it. When it's good, when it's bad, how to save it, how to keep one. I have already saved ones that people have thrown away, believe it or not, and they are back to full potential. Think about that. That's an $80 battery for free. All right, anyway, that's what we're going to cover. We'll start with that this evening, and let's move on to the roster. This is KF6Q, Tom Fry with Tech Tuesday Net here every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. All right, top of the list, WB6CLZ, my partner there, Mike, you out there.
Yes, good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. Yeah, we got to get together and set a date for that antenna seminar. We don't want to do it in the snow. WB6CLZ, back to net control.
Roger that. And we did a lot of good stuff last year, and looking forward to that. We're going to show everybody how to build a $150 Yagi for about $20. All right. WB6CIN, Cindy.
This is WB6CIN checking in.
Okay, Cindy, great. Appreciate you being out there with Mike. KA6CIA, George.
Good evening, Tom, K6CIA.
Yeah, yeah, out there, George. And George, if you can, and stick around a little bit, maybe at the first part of our topic, when we get to that, probably be about 20 minutes after the hour, a little information of what your knowledge is. You have a, I'm going to call it a great golf cart on steroids, okay? A little information on your batteries. Okay, so appreciate that if you could stick around for that. All right, if he's out there on Echolink, KE6RJ, Harry. And nothing heard. KE6QI, Nancy, are you out there? And nothing heard. How about AF6DJ? Sometimes not there, but Guy, are you out there this evening?
Yeah, this is Alpha Echo 6 Charlie Kilo. Good evening, Tom and Danette. Like always, I am running to the microphone. Mic back to you.
Okay, Victor, got you out there. You're a little further down the list, so I'll check in. Please listen up and appreciate you being out there. One more try there for AF6DJ. Guy. Okay, nothing heard, and I know this guy's been working his tail off with this weed abatement thing. KI6SKN, are you home yet, or are you even able to lift your hand for the mic? Chris, are you out there?
Yeah, I'm here. KI6SKN.
Okay, Chris, appreciate you being out there. Thanks a bunch, and yeah, I know this is the busiest time of year for you, so glad you're out there this evening. How about KJ6HDS? Oh, I heard him out there. Mike.
This is KJ6HDS. No traffic, Tom. 73, is there everybody out there this evening?
Hey, Mike, and a courtesy to check in to K6EKX Echo Kilo X-ray for your father, if he's out there on the repeater. I mean, not the repeater, on the scanner. Sorry. And then KJ6FIL, Mike. Red one, I just heard you. I know you're there.
Good evening, y'all. Yep, definitely out here in La La Land somewhere. Everybody have a great evening, and keep your eyes to the sky. You never know what you might see. Hey, KJ6FIL, back to net control.
Okay, Mike, and Chris, also, kudos to you. Appreciate all the information you're giving us out there. When that shuttle is, slap my face, ISS is visible. It'd be great if the shuttle was, doggone it. We need more up there. I don't know why they canceled that. That's another topic. But anyway, appreciate all that help you're doing out there for everybody, and you got that update information all the time. And also FIL, good update this evening. Great info. Be surprised how many people don't know you can see it out there. All right, moving on. Let's see here. We have KJ6KDL, Jim, and KJ6KDK, Rosemary, Sugarloaf.
This is KJ6KDK, and also please check in KJ6KDL. He just got home and is eating dinner.
Appreciate that. Sorry we do this net at this hour. It interferes, but I know a little bit later everybody will be asleep. A little bit earlier, some people aren't even home. I don't know. When are you doing that? We'll have to do a survey. Thanks for being out there. Moving on here, W6GZI Frank, are you out there this evening? Okay, nothing heard. Frank, are you out there checking any time? KI6IQA, Kelly.
Good evening, KI6IQA.
All right, Kelly, you know what, and I don't know if she's out there. We're going to give her a shout. N6BLP, Ann, are you out there this evening? And nothing heard. All right, how about K6GPL, Ron in Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and Lynette. This is Ron, K6GPL, North Rim of Green Valley Lake.
Okay, Ron, signal's real solid, a little weak on the audio, but you know what, 100% copy. Appreciate you being out there, Ron, thanks. 86PL, Harold, Riverside.
Good evening, 86PL.
All right, Harold, glad to have you out there. By golly, if you didn't check in, I think I'll be in my truck driving now to see why. K6LCS, Clint in Harupa Valley.
K6LCS on AMSAT's newest bulletin station, K6LCS.
All right, Clint, Clint, sounds like we got some great information coming out. Appreciate that. And I don't know if you've noticed the followers. There's a lot of people out there really enthused about the ISS. And I know that there's a lot of others out there also enthused with satellite comms. So anyway, glad to have you out there. All right. Let's see. W6AWL, Art, I know he's out of town. Give him a courtesy call in a few seconds if he's on EchoLink. Hey, nothing heard. How about W6JLM? Judith.
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. We're thinking about a lot of people tonight. If Steve, if you're listening, KE6FQC, Debbie is in our prayers, if you would please pass that along. And also, Ray and Maureen, we're thinking about you for your 40th wedding anniversary this week. Hope you have a great time in Las Vegas. Other than that, we'll see everyone at the picnic on Saturday. This is W6JLM.
Okay, Judith, was there any other announcements? I know you wanted to get some stuff in there at the beginning. Anything else you'd like to add to that?
I think I got everything I needed in, except we'll just talk about the picnic at Sugarloaf Park for the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club this Saturday, 10 to 2, Sugarloaf Park, and we hope to see everyone there.
Okay, Judith, and this is a little thing. It's a CERT ECS thing, actually a kind of off-the-wall get-together, you know, not online thing at Sugarloaf Park tomorrow. That would be tomorrow, Wednesday, at 5:30. John and Dave, no, excuse me, Dave, KI6OHD, I think, his name, no, AOHD. Anyway, all right, my name is call sign wrong. Sorry about that. Anyway, we're going to do a little thing to work on communications with FRS radios and see where we're going to go with that. If you want to stop by, doesn't matter if you're a member of CERT or ECS, please come by. Going to talk about emergency communications, what we're going to do. This is the first of many off-the-wall meetings. Going to basically just get some hands-on training, little stuff of this is and that. So I'll be out there myself. Got a couple other people out there going to be with me. So it's 5:30, Sugarloaf Park, Sugarloaf. This is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater, every Tuesday, 1900 hours, conditions permitting. All right, let's move on to Judith, your sidekick, my best buddy, W6KMM.
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is W6KMM, and we'll hear the wonderful stories about the ISS.
Okay, roger that. Appreciate that. I don't know if he's out there. KI6OHN, John? Yeah, nothing heard. Let's see, moving on down the list here. Another guy should be out there, or always is out there. K6YNW, Chris.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. K6YNW.
Chris, glad to have you out there. Almost like clockwork every week. So, all right. Moving on down the list, KD6LAN, Bill from Boulder Bay.
Well, I'm not here, but I'll check in anyway, KD6LAN.
Well, you are wherever you went, and you're not where you used to be. Wherever you go, that's where you're at. All right, Bill, good deal. Thanks for being out there. Moving on down the list of the regular check-ins here. Let's see here. What have we got? Well, we already got AE6CK Victor from Santa Fe Springs checked in. How about AE6VHM Frank? And nothing heard. KA6ROD Rod. I think he's on vacation. I think he's in England.
I'm back. KA6ROD. Good evening, everyone.
Rod, glad to have you back, and welcome back. KJ6DBS, Leon Arrowbear. Nothing heard. Once in a while, we hear him out there. K6OKG, Robert, up there by Lance. Nothing Nothing heard. How about KB6LTY? Christy, Apple Valley.
And I'm here, KB6LTY. Good evening.
Christy, sounds like Quinn's got some good info for us tonight. Please stand by. AE6TV, Hans. All right, and we have here on the list NQ7RD. Rick, are you out there from Corona? Okay, nothing heard. Anyway, and we always have different visitors every week. Anybody out there like to check in this week as a visitor? Please check in now. Call KF6Q.
KJ6MYV, Larry, Apple Valley, California.
All right, Larry, you know what? I had you last week, and you know what? We'll put you on the regular check-in list here. Sounds like you like our net and appreciate that. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is KJ6HCS and N6BOP would like to have a courtesy check-in also, Tom, if that's all right.
Okay, roger that. And N6BOP, yes, she's normally out here, and we got a courtesy check-in for her. Thanks. Anybody else out there? We have some names from last week, and anybody else out there new or from last week, please come back.
This is K1BBR from Kansas City, Missouri.
K1BBR, heard you on there earlier. You were talking to KG6ACS. Glad to have you out here. Are you local or are you just on vacation? Or the K1, the one's got me thinking.
Actually, that's a vanity plate or a call sign, and we're from Kansas City, Missouri. We're out here with a group from Crisis Response International. We train people in responding to natural disasters as first responders, and we have 260 trainees out at Big Bear.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm also the lieutenant for the San Bernardino County Fire ECS. Standing in for our captain, who's currently back east on vacation. Glad to have you out there, and you know what? That's fantastic. Appreciate that. K1BBR. All right. Anybody else out there?
K6DUX in a beautiful 29 stump.
All right, Gee. You know what? You're right on time. It's about 20 after the hour, 22. Got you checked in here, Gee. Appreciate that. Thanks a bunch. All right, anybody else out there, please come back. KF6Q.
This is KD0JXZ. I am from Washington State, and I'm also at Big Bear with Crisis Response International.
All right, got you checked in here, and appreciate you checking in the net. This is actually a very informal but informative, I should say. I guess, I don't know, how would you put it? We don't get too technical. We ought to try to keep everybody from the beginner tech level and keep everybody interested all the way up to the general or extra class. We deal with lightning strikes, emergency power, how to handle emergency communications. We've done a lot. By golly, if you've been listening in the last 2 months, we've had a lot of stuff going on there. So right now we're dealing with batteries tonight. Because of battery backup, HT is very important. You want that thing to be very solid. Thanks for checking in. Sorry I went so long on that. Anybody else out there want to check in? Please come back.
KJ6QGH, Mike from Sugarloaf.
All right, Sugarloaf. One more time, I got a lot of call signs out here with the call, and your name was Mike, correct?
That's correct. We went through a class with you at the hospital.
Well, fantastic. Glad to have you out there. Thank you for joining in. Appreciate that. All right. And you know what? If any of your other people out there want to get some training, I know ours got something scheduled in October. If you want to do something sooner, give me an email at KF6Q. Just Kilo Foxtrot 6 Quebec. KF6Q at ARRL.net. And there's a lot of class stuff going on out there, and we always test all the time. So let me know. All right, anybody else out there, courtesy check-in or any type of check-in, I guess, as a guest, visitor, or whatever, please come back.
Yeah, hey, Tom, this is KJ6HGS. KF6, FHD Kathy out of Newport Beach. They got a residence up here in Fonskin, but she's not picking a repeater, so she hit me on a landline. She like a check-in. She could hear you, but she can't get out. They live in a trailer park just above Newport Beach.
All right, we got our check-in here as a courtesy. Thanks, Mike. All right, I think we've got everybody covered out there, knowing everybody new, and we're going to move on. My gosh, it's only 7:25. All right, everybody out there, glad you checked in this evening. Thank you very much. All the new visitors out there, thank you very much for joining us. And all the regulars, thank you very much for being out there every week. First thing we do after we do all this is DX report. That would be from the general class. If you had a tech class license, this will give you a good reason to think about getting your general. All right, Mike, WB6CLZ, anything new to hear from you? And then we'll move on to see if anybody else has anything else. DX report, go ahead.
Hey, Tom, this is WB6CLZ. Well, yeah, you techs out there, you know, one of these days we'll keep our fingers crossed. And you have a frequency for sideband CW on 10 meters, so, yeah, there's still hope. But get that general license. Well, anyway, the same old broken record, guys. Space Weather is reporting the sunspot count or sunspot number of 13. That ain't too hot. We just came off some major solar flares, some major prominences, some good stuff going down, and a little bit of DX, but that was last week, and we've been there and don't need to report it. We did go 2 days with zero sunspots. It's been a while since we've had that, but, you know, our solar flux index is still up around 90, so, you know, there's hope. I didn't hear much. I tuned around today, 17. There's a little bit of activity, a little bit on 20. Nothing much to brag about, though, so, you know, I don't have anything major to report, but I do know that Chris has a few to report, and Rod's out there. He enjoys chasing the DX, and maybe we might even get a couple of words from our buddy Bob. You know, he's the real DXer in the crowd. He should be running this net, or I mean this part of the net. But anyway, that's about my story, and I'm sticking to it. And you know, we're always optimistic about better sunspot numbers, better things coming in the future. Hopefully, that really works out. So back to you, Tom, back to net control, and let's see if Chris, Rod, or Bob have anything going. This is WB6CLZ in Irwin Lake.
And this is KF6Q, Tom Fry, on the Tech Tuesday net, every Tuesday, 1900 hours. Conditions for rain, what does that mean? Well, if we have emergency conditions, then we leave the repeater open. Other than that, we're here, and we've been here. By golly, every Tuesday since March of 2010. Anyway, great thing there going there, Mike, and we do this every week. Everybody who's new out there listening, this is the old school ham radio stuff, the old long wires and stuff out there, talking to Europe, talking to Japan, talking to the other side of the world. Always good to see what's going on out there, and Mike helps us out with that every week, as also being my co-host. Anyway, anybody out there, I know, let's see, I think we might have some information. I don't know if Chris has got stuff, because by golly, he's working his butt off out there, literally. We'll send over to Chris real quick. Chris, KI6SKN, if he's got anything to report.
Yes, everyone on the net, this is Chris, KI6SKN. Got a little bit of traffic I had here. It was last week, Thursday or Friday, pretty late in the evening, on 20 meter, which is primarily a daytime band, but 10 o'clock at night, I made a contact in Estonia, one in Hungary, and at the same time period, which is, it happens once in a while, we're getting on the other side of the equator also. Let's see, New Zealand, and... what else is down there? Let's see, who else I talked to down there? VK, that would be Australia. So So there's a little bit going on there. In fact, for that late in the evening especially, 20 meter was hopping pretty good. Other than that, I've just turned the radio on a few other times and really haven't heard much anything. Okay, back to you, Tom. KI6SKN.
Hey, Chris, real quick there for the people out there that are new. And this is just basically with an inverted V BKW antenna, shortened up version of the, and actually refined version of the most popular that we all know about, and 100 watts, right?
That's true. Still running 100 watts, kind of. Still need to do some work on my amplifier, but yeah, it was 100 watts, and there were a bit of pile-ups, you know, quite a few people trying to make contact, so it took me more than one shot on every contact I did make, but yes, the I'm using this wire antenna. It's a ZS6BKW, which is a variation of that other one we're talking about. I can't think of it either, Tom. But it's basically 90 feet of wire up in the air with a 40-foot tail of a ladder line coming down. And it's up, like I say, 43 feet in the center is where I'm at, about 35 feet on the ends. And seems to do pretty good. G5RV is the name of that other antenna. Okay, back to you, Tom. KI6SKN.
I'm glad you thought of it. I'm out in the sun also cutting up, trimming up stuff here, trying to get everything fireproof and winter ready and all that good stuff. Thanks very much, Chris, for all your help there. And I know that sometimes you can't check in. Appreciate when you do. Everybody out there loves to hear you and see what you're doing out there with your... You got a great antenna set up there. Fantastic. And, you know, like I said, that's 100 watts and a wire antenna. No, nothing real fancy. The basic 100 watts, basic unit, so... All right, anyway, Rod, WA6ROD, I know you're traveling the world. Anything you've done out there, or you want to help us out there with a little report?
I was gone for a while, but before I left, I know I talked to Mike. We both contacted South Korea, and then right after that, Japan on 17. This is all in the CW part of the band. But now that I'm back, I'm going to be doing some more DX, and I'll give you a report next time. KA6ROD.
Thanks, Rod. Appreciate that. And all you guys out there that got your tech license, keep in mind, you are 35 questions away, and you have to pass 26 of those. Get your general's license, and you can do what these guys are doing. That's what we're talking about here. So it's one more step. So anyway... All right, and if you want more information on that, please contact me. I am the liaison here in the Valley. I can help you get good information towards studying and get you set up for the test date at kf6q@arrl.net. If you go on the ARRL site, my cell number is on there. Give me a call. Verify that. We got quite a few people. We always test once a month. And we also will do special testings if you get a group together. Or if you feel you're ready, by golly, we got a lot of very just great people up here. My helpers are great. And we can do an off testing for one person, believe it or not. All right, let me reset. Don't know if, what's the WA6MQF, Bob, you out there? Hey, he's another great DXer. Anybody else out there, whether you've checked in or not, or a regular or not, anything out there in DX, please come back. Share your information. This is the time. All right, nothing heard. Well, Clint, if you're still out there and being very patient, we are normally to you a lot sooner than this. K6LCS, I hope you're out there. You're going to give us the ham satellite report, the ISS, any other technical information you can. Clint, please come back to Net Control.
Good evening, Tech Tuesday. We just wrapped up recording the Ham Nation video podcast on the Twit TV network. And episode 13 already. It's just like, wow, that's 3 months. The huge question I've gotten is the
illuminated call sign sign that's in back of me in episode 11 that's changing colors. That's from jimsengraving.com. Jimsengraving.com. Anyway, let's talk about ARISSAT-1 and the other FM satellites that we can easily work here in our region. Break for a sec. You all know we deployed ARISSAT-1 on August 3. Battery performed marvelously. We had reception reports beginning 16 minutes after deployment, but the battery is performing a little lower than we would like. We're having some battery failure and going into emergency power mode beginning on August 10. Break for a sec. After a emergency power reset that it did by itself, the MET, the mission elapsed time, went back to 000. It waited 15 minutes for a transmit delay. It checked its own voltage, power values, and came back on the air. What this all means is, if you've been delaying working ARISSAT-1, don't delay any longer. We have an FM downlink, just a simple handheld radio, a slightly improved antenna from the stock. You can hear FM transmissions on 145.95. That's 145.95. Those FM transmissions cycle between a voice ID as RS01F, then some select telemetry values, then one of 24 international greeting messages in 15 languages, and SSTV images coming down. So that's 145.95. But everything else is operational, too. Although the linear transponder only has a FM, excuse me, a 440 antenna, that's, well, we figured it out to be 1.5 inches now because the 6.5 inch width is not there. But our 440 up, 2 meter down linear transponder is fully operational for you. The CW beacon on 2 meters is operational. 2 meter sideband BPSK 1K telemetry, operational. All modes are operational for the time being. Now remember, it might be in emergency power mode, excuse me, it might be in low power mode, especially if it's nighttime. So if you are tracking it and you know that your time of day and your longitude, latitude, and everything else is set up properly and you know it's there, keep on monitoring, because it'll broadcast for 40 seconds, followed by 2 minutes of silence, and it'll pick up another 40-second transmission cycle. So if you know it's there, keep on listening for it. As far as FM birds right now, Arisat is working for us. AO27 is working well for us. AO51. AO51, with one battery cell at 0 volts, another battery cell at 1/10 of a volt, AO51 has been performing magnificently for us the last 6 weeks. We also have ISS data. We have data coming from the International Space Station. You sideband folks, AO7, UO11, FO29, and VO52 are all working incredibly well for us. Thank you very much to everybody who wrote and called regarding Ham Nation Episode 11 that we did 2 weeks ago for work on the ham satellites with Leo Laporte and Gordon West. It was a technical nightmare. We had another company in there called Video, I'm not going to mention their name though, who could not handle that night 5 incoming guests into the studio and mix us properly and get us all on the air. I never saw live video on my monitor. It was always 20 seconds delayed, and that's why it looks so jumpy and bizarre in episode 11. We're going to redo that in about 4 weeks. We'll do another Ham Nation on working the satellites and with a live coverage of a satellite working it with a handheld, a tape measure antenna. and maybe a watt. I might turn my radio down all the way to a watt and a half. All right, any information, anything you need, please go to worksatellites.com, worksatellites.com, or shoot me an email, Kilo 6 Lima Charlie Sierra. That's K6LCS at K6LCS.com. That's my call sign at mycallsign.com. Kilo 6, Lima, Charlie, Sierra. Tech Tuesday, Tom, thank you. And AMSAT North America, thanks. The Big Bear Amateur Radio Club for allowing us to use this as an official bulletin station for AMSAT News.
Thank you very much, Quint. Appreciate that. And, okay, so what you're saying is we are on the AMSAT site as a typical reliable source of that.
Oh, not typical, but definitely reliable.
Great. Appreciate that. And thanks for all that information, Clint. Looking forward to seeing you next week. And anybody else who's out there, this is a weekly thing we do, and Clint always has updates, you know, on a weekly basis. So let me reset real quick. All right, well, we're going to get to our topic here, by golly, 20 minutes towards 8, going to get there. Do want to take one little quick break here. We are using the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. I am a member, and Mike is a member, and a lot of these people, Clint's a member, a lot of these people that you hear out here are members. The membership is $20 a year, very, very cheap. This is an open repeater. You are not required to be a member to use the repeater, and we welcome all people to use that. However, if you would like to help support the repeater that we're all listening to and using, please go online to BBARC, that's Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, just the initials, BBARC.org. Do that search on Google or type that in, and you'll find a membership application in there. Join up with our group. Be a member of the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We have a picnic coming up this Saturday. If you're in the local area, please come by. Welcome visitors. That will be at Sugarloaf Park in Sugarloaf, which is at the east end of Big Bear. And love all the support. And I'll guarantee you that this repeater has probably got one of the largest footprints without any linking. We go all the way back. Let me reset real quick. Our reach is from Kingman, Arizona, Mount Whitney. Who knows how far out in the Pacific, because we know we hit Avalon just fine. All the way down to San Diego, parts of Oceanside, all the way to the far side of the Salton Sea. And this is a standard coverage. We are a little bit of blockage with Sanji. I think our repeater is, 8,200 feet, 8,400 feet, I think it's 8,200 feet, top of Big Bear, one of the ski resorts up here. We maintain this, and it is on battery backup and solar cells, so I don't remember any time it has ever been down, period. In the last 3 or 4 years, I could be corrected, but very, very reliable, so please, you want to help support this and the club. Put an app in, $20 a year, just to be one of our members and help support the repeater. All right, let's move ahead. One quick break here. Any comments or things before we get into our topic? Please come back to KF6Q. Go ahead.
Tom, this is Mike WB6CLZ. Boy, I think I'm going to join twice, man. That was good. Kudos to you, Tom, on fluffing up the BBARC. Yeah, we can use all the members we can get. And good job, Tom. Back to net control.
Well, if you thought that was great, listen to this. Okay, by the way, the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club donates services of its repeater for free to the San Bernardino County Emergency Communication Services. We do, and I am also a lieutenant of that, we do coverage and backup communications for bike races, anything else up here, Trout Fest coming up, We're going to do some track races up here. We do all kinds of stuff up here. When the Jeepers come up off-road, OHV people, Jeep clubs, whatever, we do donate the repeater for them, you know, that they comply with our regulations for free. We let them use our repeater. We dedicate it for the day, and they'll let everybody back out. This is what we do. We support all groups up here in the mountains. It's a great emergency rescue point. We have done stuff like this here in the past. We have some key people out there right now on the net that have helped with this. So if you want to be a member, support that repeater. Make sure it stays up and running. We're not hurting for that, but, you know, all the support is great. And be a member. Be part of the club. Go to bbarc.org, and there's apps there. Be a member. Anyway, let me reset.
Kellyanne.
Yeah, go ahead, Kellyanne.
Yeah, Tom, thanks. I'd also like to add that any of you folks that out there that are PD, retired PD, or any kind of law enforcement that have anything to do with Baker to Vegas, we have, and I personally have, used this repeater for emergency traffic for the Baker to Vegas. So if that'll make up your mind, come on in, join in. Thank you, Tom. 86 all in.
Bill, appreciate that. We're trying to actually get, and this is Tech Tuesday, we're not actually part of the club. I'm just a member of the club. We're doing this just to help. This is all volunteer stuff. We actually are working on a website called tech-tuesday.org. I'm really sorry if you've been looking on that website. It's still under construction, has been since December. We've just had a lot of stuff to do, but it will be up and running. We're going to have a lot of great sources, and we have a lot of good information, a lot of copyrighted stuff. We've got permission to reprint. A lot of work ahead before we put the website up. Let me reset. And we're welcoming anybody out there with the San Bernardino County or any other county sheriff's office, CHP. We try to back up communications as much as we can, and we have a lot of people out here on this net that basically do that as a standby situation. And we're not the first responders, but by golly, if we happen to be on the scene before anybody else gets there, I guess that makes us the first responder. All right, well, let's get to business here tonight. Mike, WB6CLZ. Let's see, topic of tonight, what is a lead acid battery?
I think that in itself is pretty self-explanatory. It is a battery consists of lead and filled with acid for the electrolyte. And they were invented back in 1859, so they've been around a while. You know, there's several different kinds of lead acid batteries. And Tom, why don't you start us on that?
Hey, Mike, and I know we're running out of time. We've had so much to cover, so much to do, and that's why I say this is going to be a multi-topic thing. We do not want to interfere. We do have a flyby with the ISS tonight. Want everybody to have a chance to see that, and I think that was at 8 or 7:57. So we've got about 10 minutes here, and let's just do a couple of preliminaries. First off, lead-acid battery. Okay, that's what's in your car, for the most part. We've had these out there for years, a long, long, long time. There's a reason why we use that, and we use that still today. It's super efficient. It's about, I'm going to say, I think from my research, it's about 90 to 95% efficient. In other words, whatever energy you put in, is the energy you get out. It's chemical. It is, of course, acid, of course. Well, ooh, acid, burn you. Yes, you have to be careful. Lead, ooh, lead, bad. But, you know, lead's in the container. It's in a sealed environment. And there are more different chemical things we have here coming up, newer stuff, but this is the highest right now, without, you know, cutting hairs, of basically efficiency. Will you reset? Been around a long time, and that's a weird part. It was very easy to make. Mike, what year was that when it first came out? One more time.
Well, according to my reading here, my research, 1859.
You know, a lot of us think, like, back in the 1860s, okay, 1860, thereabouts, we're talking, we're getting pretty close, if not at the Civil War. You're thinking, like, electronics, batteries, stuff. Well, we had telegraph. We had the telegraph. People had to have all written off of batteries. So, yes. Yeah, there's a lot of electronics that goes way back into the 1800s that are staple things that we have today. Anyway, all right, well, what we're going to teach or try to explain, I shouldn't say teach, discuss in the next couple of weeks is batteries. We all take them for granted. They're always there. And when they go bad, there's like, okay, well, we got to toss it or get rid of it or take it to the recycler or whatever. One good thing here I would have to add, Mike, have you ever had any dealings with, deep cycle batteries?
I had a little bit of experience with deep cycle. My experience on a couple different levels, I used to be a senior electrician for the Weyerhaeuser company, and I would maintain the batteries. It happened to be a corrugated plant where I was stationed, and cardboard boxes, by the way. And, you know, we had roll carts that would carry around the big transport, actually, the big rolls of paper to make the corrugated, and we used a quite large lead acid cell, deep cycle cell. That's my main experience, and secondary experiences, I have backup power here for my amateur radios and that run off solar that use the deep cycles.
Good deal. Well, you know what, and we'll have to get together on that. We talk a lot off the channel, off the record, but I know a guy who did a lot of backup machine work for a corrugated plant down there, and it'd be weird if that was the same one. Anyway, all right. One thing we always rely on, we go out, and we're going to have to start from basics 101, our cars, okay? We go out there, that's battery number 101, 12-volt battery in your car, and we're going to use these also as backup batteries if you've got a base station. And when you go out there to start your car, worst thing is when it doesn't, the battery is dead. Well, we're going to try to bring everybody up to speed. What happens? What causes batteries to go dead? What causes them to be to the point where most people say, okay, I have to get rid of this battery and get a new one? Well, guess what? I've got about four batteries right now working on the second two of deep cycle. What does deep cycle mean? Merle Marine or whatever, deep cycle, RV battery, whatever. Even have some Optimas I'm working on. We're breaking the sulfate cycle. There's a lot of things that happen to a battery that make it very, very, resistant to be getting a charge. And people say, most people will toss it. Mike, you ever had a battery go bad and you say, you know what, time to get a new battery?
Well, certainly, Tom, I think we've all had that, but since then, we've learned that there are ways, as you're saying, to go ahead and revitalize or rejuvenate that battery. Go ahead. You're kind of the expert on that. I know that I think one of your relatives invented a device to help with that, too. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, if you want me to have that one claim to fame, and I'll claim it, as we're running out of time here, my grandfather actually invented what's called a battery rejuvenator. Got the patent number, if you'd like to have it, fine. It was in 1948. Probably one of the first battery chargers on batteries that weren't supposed to be able to be charged. But anyway, that's another story. We'll deal with that later. As we're running close on time here, what I'd like to let everybody know is that a lot of times batteries that get discharged past a certain point, if they're really, really old, if you had that battery, it's been in service for 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years, and it's probably wore out. But if it's something rather new or it only was discharged and recharged or used intermittently, and all of a sudden now it just seems like it won't take a charge, do not, if you want to get rid of it, fine, send it my way. I will have it back to you. It's a brand new battery. And we're going to teach you, or inform you anyway, of how to do that in the next upcoming weeks. Running a lot of short on time this evening. But anyway, there's a lot of chemical processes. This is not witchcraft. If the battery has definitely gone through its lifetime, if it's an automotive battery, what will happen is they are built to have a lot of certain surge. The deep cycles are actually the long-lived batteries, or long-lived batteries, however you want to pronounce it. What they will do is if you get beyond a certain point, they seem like they will not charge. Well, there's a chemical process going on there. It's not witchcraft, but it can be helped. Let me reset. Now, I know we're running out of time here, Mike. I know we're just we have so much to cover, and we try to keep this limited to an hour. But let's give a break here. Is there anybody out there with a question on anything to do with batteries? Because batteries are going to be the backup. If you have a computer with a UPS, you have a backup battery in that. It's SLA, which is sealed lead acid, or you might be an AGM, which is acid glass mat, newer technology, or something to that nature, which we are going to get into. But we're running out of time here, anybody with questions, please ask now.
Comment.
Go ahead, comment.
Yeah, KXYNW here. Deep cycle batteries are pluses. They can be flattened out and they can recover. The regular auto batteries, not so good in that score. But I've heard from a number of people you can't put a deep cycle battery in an automobile. KXYNW.
Well, there's a lot of limitations, and basically it's limited to what we call the ampere hours of the battery. And I know a lot of motorcycle, ATV, or whatever batteries are notorious for going bad just sitting there. Problem is they are so thin-plated, they're so small. And what happens is that they're cheap batteries. If you have a sit-down lawnmower, if you have something that's got a some type of battery like that that's small, it doesn't get used much. The biggest problem is that they will get into what's called a sulfate state, and they won't take a charge, or they seem like they won't take a charge. This is what we're going to correct. We're going to get through that so people don't throw stuff away. We're hams. We have to recycle stuff. Why? Because that's what we do. Any anybody else out there, any questions or comments or suggestions, please come back.
Comment.
Harold, go ahead.
Right, on a comment on the previous caller there, he's right about putting a deep cycle in your car. I called Exide, free number, about something else, and during the course of that, I mentioned, you know, I had to have a new battery, and I thought I was thinking about putting a deep cycle in. I was talking to their head engineer at their design place there, and he said, under no circumstances to ever put a deep cycle in your car, because he said you could end up calling the body department to help you put out the remains of your car. He said it's something that if you do it, Exide's not responsible. 86 feel.
Okay, on that comment, I'm going to let you know, this is the difference between a deep cycle and a car battery, which would basically be, say, the same size battery in a marine vehicle or RV and a car. Okay, first off, the deep cycle has thicker lead plates. It will last longer. It actually will live longer. However, because the plates are thicker, they don't impregnate them or make a waffle pattern out of them to give that super surface burst of energy that you need when you're starting a car. So what can happen with a car battery is you've got a great burst of energy, but they won't last long. That's the biggest difference between the car battery and the deep cycle. Deep cycle with a forklift, deep cycle with any of these loaders, thicker plates. These plates can get as thick as a quarter of an inch of lead. You don't want that in your car. You want something that's going to just last and do its job. So now, whether it'll start something on fire, I don't know. I think that's somebody's opinion. But basically, the deep cycle has a thicker plate but less surface area, if that makes any sense. It'll actually have fuller charge. It'll weigh more and do less. But it's meant to be able, because of the thickness of the lead, if we take it down to a lower discharge, we're going to get into that. We're going to go into the chemistry, real simple, not chemistry 505, just chemistry 101, of the battery, of what happens, and go from there. But Harold, you always got to be careful what you hear from everybody.
LAN.
Go ahead, LAN.
Yeah, having spent several weeks in the battery school, Tom, you're correct. Deep cycle battery is not and should not be used for starting a vehicle. They are made for long, sustained drainage. They are not meant for high amperage drainage all at one time. Also, I'll hit everybody with a trick question. It's not a trick question, but it's a complicated question. And let it go. I don't expect an answer tonight. But how many 9-volt batteries does it take to make a 12-volt battery? And no, it is not a trick question. Thank you much. KD6LAN.
Okay, Bill, I appreciate that. Thanks for the backup. But we're going to leave everybody here on the edge of their seat. Anybody out there, I hope you're seeing the ISS go by right now. Hope you have an HT. We've gone past our 8 o'clock hour. But anyway, Bill, can you tell us, or are you going to let us wait till next week? We're going to pause here. Hey, Bill's out there looking for the ISS. Anyway, everybody else out there listening, there's a lot to do with batteries. I actually have had two deep cycle, I'm gonna say they're, I don't know what series they are, but they're huge, for marine application. And they were not really abused. They just were drained beyond a certain point. Now, when a battery, a 12-volt battery, we'll wrap this up real quick. When it gets below 10.5 volts, most people say, that's it, it's toast. There's your way to bring them back. So anyway, all right, well, we're going to have to wrap this up because we are hitting the late here. But anybody with any questions or other topics with this, we're going to pull this forward over the next few weeks. Give me an email at KF6Q. Kilo Foxtrot 6 Quebec, KF6Q at ARRL.net. I will get back to you immediately, let you know what's going on. I got a lot of great sources here. Trust me, I've been putting all these sources together for our website. When this is up and running, by golly, I'll just say go to techtuesday.org. You'll find it there. And trust me, you will. Anybody else out there with any comments or suggestions, please come back. KF6Q.
I was wondering if anybody knows a good place to buy a UPS.
And who are you? UPS, good. We have a couple of people out there that deal with those. I think he's still online. And please ID.
KJ6MFO. Yeah, I was thinking about getting a UPS for my computer since our power company likes to shut the power off momentarily every once in a while, so I've looked around a little bit, but I haven't really found any place. I figure maybe somebody knows a good place to get them.
Hey, glad to hear you. I haven't heard you out there for a bit. Glad to hear you out there now. Yes, we have. Let's see, KJ6KDL works with the banking industry with probably the most pertinent UPS requirements, and he could probably help you out. Jim, are you out there?
Yeah, absolutely. KJ6KDL on Tech Tuesday. Yeah, MFO, I bounce around a few places on the internet looking for prices. I used to go to Newegg a lot, but the last year they started dealing specifically in Triplite. Triplite's been getting a lot of complaints about premature failures and on the lower-end units or mid-grade units, so I stopped dealing there. I typically find myself on a couple of websites, Amazon.com or CompuPlus.com. You can do a search for that. I can't remember if there's hyphens in it or not. And even Fry's. What I do is I do a basic search for UPS space AVR for automatic voltage regulation. Up here with dirty power and the shifting of voltage, it's really important to make sure that you have fairly stable voltage as well as battery backup for interrupted power. I tend to pick up APC and Cyber Power brand UPSs in the upper 600 AV range to the low mid 800 volt amp range. That'll get you in the 380 to 500 watt area and gives you plenty of time to save your working and shut down your computer before you lose power. I hope that helps a lot. KJ6KDL.
Okay, Jim, thanks. Yeah, APC I've heard of, and Cyber Power, I think you said, was the other one. Definitely know CompuPlus, bought a few things from them, and I've looked around at some other websites. Yeah, the Triplites I've always relied on, but I guess they're like a lot of other things. Their quality has kind of probably gone down to cut costs or something. But, yeah, I don't need one. I'm definitely not going to buy a cheap one. I'm definitely thinking of 100 or so. And just something that gives you about, you know, anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes, just enough to either see if the power comes back on or, you know, give you time to shut it off if the power doesn't seem to come back on. So nothing's fancy, nothing, just a general, you know, good 15, 20-minute area backup would be nice.
Yeah, I should fill in that with two statements. One, you said about $100, and you'll find you'll be in the mid 80 to $100 range on most of these. One other item to note is the nicer UPSs run on 24 volts or 48 volts. 48 is getting into the more expensive units, but two 7-amp batteries giving you 24 volts. That'll give you a longer runtime because the stepper doesn't have to step up as hard to generate 120 volts. It's a little more expensive when you replace batteries, but they run about $20 a piece. And the single 12-volt, they just don't hold on very well. You get a weak cell in them when they get old, and they die quickly. But you'll find they hum a lot. The 12 volts will give you a lot of noise and give you some unstable. If you have a fluorescent bulb plugged in, it'll give you unstable light. But definitely look and do a check. Make sure that if it's a dual battery unit, you're definitely going to be in the $100 range for sure, and that'll give you a lot more stable and long running power. KJ6KDL.
Okay, I'll definitely check for double battery and APC or one of the other ones, and I definitely appreciate the information there, Jim. KJ6MFO, back to listening.
All right, thanks a bunch there, Jim. And you know what, anybody out there listening, we're trying to get Jim, KJ6KDL, and his wife, KJ6KDK, who happens to be the president of the computer club up here, to do a little segment on our Tech Tuesday on the software end. There's a lot of software out there. Some of the new radio stuff is software controlled or software programming or stuff just like this. So if you want them to really sign up, I've tried. Send me an email, and I'll forward that to them. kf6q@arrl.net. Try to get them to come on board. So anyway, all right, Jay, glad to hear you out there. And also, I guess you're trying to back up computer stuff. Power backup, got a lot of good stuff going on here with generators and a lot of different things happening. So anyway, anybody else out there, any comments? Well, by golly, we're way beyond the 8 o'clock hour, but that's okay. Let's just keep going. Anybody out there, anything else to suggest or comment? Well, we're talking about batteries. Please come back, KF6Q.
A6K.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, my question is about the charging current. For a regular car battery, the maximum charging current is supposed to be 10% of the full capacity. For example, the 100 ampere hours battery, you're supposed to charge no more than 10 amperes. I'm wondering if you know if is the same rule apply for the deep cycle battery, over.
Yes. Yes, it does. Actually, the deep cycle is just a better battery than the normal battery. And AGMs actually are a sealed lead acid, are a little more critical because they have no venting, so they have to be charged slower. But if we're talking about the basic lead acid battery, deep cycle versus car, whatever, best thing to do, and I'm going to say this from experience, is to charge them at a slow rate. I have some batteries I took, basically I thought they were trash, deep cycle, huge, 650 surge amps out, basically good batteries, just really got discharged very, very low. What happens is they sulfate. We're going to go into the sulfate process and different ways to go around that. When they sulfate, most people look at those and most chargers will say, nope, can't charge this battery. And that's actually a big mistake. They are chargeable. If they're almost brand new or if they've had very little lifetime and they don't charge, but they've been totally discharged below 10.5, let me reset. Once they discharge, a 12-volt battery is not a 12-volt battery. When it's fully charged, it is 12.6 volts plus a little bit, probably about 12.6, 12.8 fractional amounts. Depends on what you're using to measure. That's fully charged. If they get down to 10.8, they are fully discharged. If they go below that, and yes, you can take them below that, what will happen is they start to a chemical process called sulfation. And it's not, it is reversible, but it's not reversible on normal means. Most people toss them. They figure they're trash. If you have a boat or an RV or whatever, and you said, okay, oh no, and the light got left on, or this happened, and the battery's almost brand new, but now it's totally dead, and I can't recharge it. Well, everybody will take that one back, and they'll give you this and that, but I'll guarantee you, that battery, there is nothing wrong with it, and can be recovered. And as hams, we can do this. We need to know how to do this, and this is what we're going to do in the next few weeks. We're going to teach everybody out here how to do that. Let me reset. It's a very unknown process. It is definitely guaranteed that this does work. It's a chemical. It's not witchcraft. But there's a lot of people out there that will probably say, oh, no, no, this does not work. Well, it does. You have to be patient. Depends how bad the sulfation process is, which we did not get into tonight. In fact, we didn't even get started. But anyway, okay, well, this is where we're headed. So real quick, I know, Mike, you're an early riser. Let's get you out of the picture here. I know you like to bail. WB6DLZ, any comments? Go ahead.
We'll pick this up next week and take it and run with it. I think we had a really good net. We just need more on the batteries. Boy, that's what I'm here to look for. And when I kick it back to you, Tom, when or did I miss the ISS? I'm I'm receiving 145.95 and I'm not getting anything. Quick comment.
Okay, no, ISS, basically what we're going to do with that, and I think if it had a flyby, I think it's already happened. One thing is this. I want everybody to know out there that in conjunction with Clint, K6LCS, we're going to do this as a Tech Tuesday project and do a contact with the ISS with a school group. If you want to help on that, it's going to be a year off. So I know that's hard to plan. I can't, you know, how many of us can plan next week with the way the economy is? I know. But we're going to try to do this. If we can, in 2012, trying to do this with Clint, I have the equipment, and we're going to supply the equipment. Just need a little backup there. We need to get some people enthusiastic about this. Please give me an email, kf6q@arrl.net. Going to get some school groups going with this. This is the only way it's going to work. And we're going to do a one-on-one. And so please, if you have any time or thoughts or about that, or interest, please give me an email. Anyway, with the battery thing, back to that. Yes. Well, Mike, I don't know. What are we going to do? We're going to just, it's going to be like a big topic.
I think so too, Tom, and I think everybody will enjoy it. A lot of information we're going to put out. Okay, back to net control. I'm gonna rise early. I'm gonna get out of here, and because I do have to get up early. WB6CLZ.
LCS.
Okay, Mike. Thanks much. And Clint, LCS. Go ahead, please. You're my key man.
For those thinking that amateur radio is dying and that kids are into the internet more than amateur radio, we received, I am an ARISS and NASA school tech support person, we received more than 105 applications from schools in the last period, which ended about a month ago, for contacts at the ISS next year. That's 105 schools. That's 105 settings where there's about 100 kids each. That's 10,500 students. That's 105 supportive teachers, 105 supportive principals. So if you think ham radio is dying or we're not getting our kids involved, oh, you're oh so wrong. Of those 105, we're going to try and pick 50 to 60 for contacts the first 6 months of next year. So it's prime application time. The applications right now are closed for the first 6 months of 2012, but the ARISS, the Amateur Radio Aboard the ISS project, is very much alive, very much exciting, and Tom is right. Go to YouTube and see how these kids' eyes light up when they hear the astronaut talking to them from the ISS. We had three contacts in the last 2 weeks, Texas, and Northern California, and a few international contacts. Very, very exciting program. Thanks for mentioning it, Tom. K6LCS.
You know, Clint, as of now I've moved out of the Inland Empire as your basically 1 mile line of sight neighbor, and up here at Sugarloaf, Big Bear Valley, and a lot of involvement up here. What I really want to do with anything more than ever is to get the younger people involved in ham radio. That's my goal. If we can do this, as the school season is just now starting up here, sometimes listening to a flyby just sparks the ears. And I really do want to get somebody up here. One of these, we don't have that many schools up here, but we're going to do it. You know, we're the Tech Tuesday group. I'm here, we're here, it's not me, it's a group. It's all of us, and we want to get this going up here with the kids up here and do this in 2012. And I know it's a privilege to get that date resolved. please work with me on this, and if you can, don't forget about us. I have a lot of equipment that we can just, we'll have. We have everything. You know, we don't have to worry about equipment. So, back to you, Clint.
Okay, I'm working with Flaybob Airport. We got their application in on time. But the application for ARISS contacts from schools right now is closed. It closed July 15th for the first 6 months of 2012. But when that next application period opens, oh, Tom, you're definitely on my A-list, and we'll get this some campus or some project up in the up in Big Bear, get a good application in with a good mission statement, good educational plan, and this is not just a, hey, can we please do this? This requires a lot of several months and hundreds of hours of preparation. Not only are you taking up time on the International Space Station involving Russians and other countries, but we need public awareness, the media to get up there. Yeah, we can definitely get this done and get a good application in for the Big Bear area. K6LCS.
Okay, Clint. Well, we'll deal with that more later. And I wanted to do this on the net. Anybody else out there still listening with the Tech Tuesday? We have a competitive net with his off-road stuff, but it's off-road stuff. Okay. Anyway, Clint, thanks a bunch. Appreciate that. And we want to do this. I want to do this. It's just, I'm as enthusiastic as you. I'm up here. You're more involved. You know all the way, all the bells and whistles to hit. And I want to get all the people up here that are possibly not aware of all this stuff. Got a lot of contacts up here now. I've been up here for actually a year and met a lot of people, and we'll see what we can do. So thanks, Quinn. Appreciate that. All right. Anybody else out there going to close the net? Let's see. This is KF6Q. Please come back. Any comments? And we'll be here after the net anyway. Please come back. All right. Okay. Well, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Acting as net control. No, I'm not acting. I am net control. You're right, Clint. I have to change that wording. I am net control. The Tech Tuesday net, closing the net at 2,000 hours and 22 minutes. And returning the repeater to normal use. I do want to thank everybody who is still out there listening. By golly, if you've gone off the air, that's okay. But anybody out there, any guests, please come back if you can next week. We'll be back right back here. And this is KF6Q. We'll be clear.